like a professional wrestler with a cape. Shadow Hair is actually a 21-year-old from Milford, although that's all he would tell us about his identity.
Well, since when has Cincinnati had one great hero?
Shadow Hair is actually part of a growing community of citizen crime fighters from around the country.
Like a Cliftico from Pennsylvania, Wall Creeper from Colorado, Master Legend from Florida, Mr. Extreme in California.
Most of them belong to a website called the World Superhero Registry and often travel in teams. Shadow Hair leads a group he calls the Allegiance of Heroes.
Allegiance, assemble!
All right. I guess he's at least trying, Eric. Thanks so much. By the way, Cincinnati police say they don't know enough about the Shadow Hair to say if what he's doing is good or bad, but they do say that citizens on patrol groups have been very helpful in fighting crime.
Kick ass, kick ass, kick ass, kick
Tony.
Ass, kick
Tony.
Ass,
Tony.
Kick
Tony.
Ass,
Tony.
Oh, what?
Okay,
what?
Snap out of it. Look, I know the movie was like awesome, but you got to stop saying it. You've been saying it for about 3 hours now.
I can't keep rocking back and forth like Rain Man saying kick ass, kick ass.
You can't. Not for the show. You can go back to it later. But
all right.
And we will be talking about the movie. You know, for anybody who's listening, of course we'll be talking about it all after the break.
Okay.
But we have to focus for a second here.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for joining us, Action Room listeners, for another Kick Heine episode of The Action Room. And I'm gathering myself. I'm Tony Wolf.
I'm Producer Mike.
And we've got some guest contributors to the show. And as always, thank you for following us on Facebook, on our Facebook fan page. And please join our growing family of Twitter followers. We love talking with everyone on Twitter about everything. And as always, we've got new shows.
Mostly you, but yeah.
Yeah. I love talking with everyone about everything. And we always have fresh new radiosodes every Monday and Friday. And this will be on Monday.
Well, what are we up to? Monday?
Yes. You know, we do two shows a week. They blur by.
And we talked about maybe having like kind of a week. I sound like Elmer Fudd.
Talked about having a weepeat, sort of a text summary.
A week wrap-up is what I was trying
week,
to say.
A week wrap-up.
But it's very strong.
For the action womb.
It's a strong week wrap-up. Okay. But we might do that in text form soon.
That might be popping up on our site soon.
But anyway, after the break is the Nerd News, and we have Kim Rogers, who did the review of The Runaways.
Yes, she's a great friend of the show, and
she's coming back.
Her Runaways review is on episode/radiosode number 7, which you can find in our archive of episodes on our site by simply clicking the word episodes.
This is very simple.
It's high
almost,
tech.
Almost too simple.
Too simple.
Some would say.
She'll be reviewing Kick-Ass with us. But
let's go. I know we talked a lot about, you know, we've been getting more fans. A lot more people are listening. We have to do some shout-outs.
Yes.
We haven't done some shout-outs in a while.
We owe some shout-outs to some real dedicated fans, listeners, and fellow geeks supporters. I had a great conversation about Apache Chief on Twitter. This is what my life is like.
Based on our sketch with Steven Seagal.
Based on our sketch with Steven Seagal.
He joined us in the action room last time, and
yes.
He was talking about how he's going to be Apache Chief in the Super Friends movie.
Yes, and I threw that out there on Twitter, wondering, you know, who would care or who would care to talk about this. And a guy named Bob Starr, with two R's, who is a pop culture blogger and fellow geek himself, on Twitter he goes by the name Decoder. The letter D, CODER. I like that 3 there for the E. So he's got a great site. Check out his site, Decoder, DCOD3R on Twitter. Another fan who wrote some very supportive likes on Facebook is named Dario Reyes. I believe I'm saying his name right. Dario Reyes?
That sounds right, yeah.
And he's a fan who discovered us through a website called Creator's Edge, which it turns out, see, if we have the correct Creator's Edge, is connected with Troma Films and Lloyd Kaufman.
And you know, that has to be cool if it's connected
of course.
With that. Yeah.
Producer Mike once worked with the Troma people many moons ago.
I actually, for anybody who cares, I did the comic book adaptation of Tromeo versus Juliet, which, by the way, that movie, and possibly the comic, I don't actually know, was written by James Gunn, who is of Dawn of the Dead fame, and what
Scooby-Doo movies.
He's going to be coming out with a superhero movie called Super.
Yes, he's about to do a superhero comedy crazy thing called Super, and producer Mike illustrated that comic book many moons ago.
Many moons.
So, and there's also a great website we discovered. I had seen them a little bit, but in my conversations with Decoder, a great website called dorkshelf.com. They have a great logo of Moby Dick, but it's Moby Dork. And he has Buddy Holly hipster glasses on. He looks very frazzled. And check out dorkshelf.com.
And one more.
Our final shout-out of the day is a great illustrator. He draws posters, covers, paintings named Patrick J. McQuaid. I noticed him first at Mocha. We took lots of postcards at Mocha, and I made it our point as a PR guy to really write to the people and reach out to the people who I thought were exceptional at Mocha. He draws a lot of covers and paintings and illustrations for Royal Flush magazine, which is a great sort of indie... Hard to describe, kind of an indie, almost like Vice magazine. If Vice magazine is for hipsters, Royal Flush is for like cool burlesque tattoo meets comics.
It is
culture.
Funny with like Mocha. It's like they're hipsters, but there is a distinction between like Brooklyn, Williamsburg kind of hipsters and Mocha hipsters.
Yes.
I don't know what Mocha that distinction hipsters. Is.
Maybe
exactly.
We'll write a little article about it or something. So anyway, his website is pjmcquaid.blogspot.com, and I believe he's on Twitter as PJ McQuaid. So follow him, check him out. He does some really terrific illustration work. So that pretty much sums up our shout-outs for this episode.
And when we return, we have another returning contributor to the show.
Yes.
Who we had to kind of fix the studio after he left and repair some stuff.
He causes quite a ruckus.
So hopefully he won't be as agitated this time.
All
but
okay. So we'll take a break and we'll come back. We hope you enjoyed those lovely tunes, and welcome back to the Action Room. That's like if we were a classical radio station or something.
No, I got it. Yeah.
All right, so now we've got a guest contributor returning to the Action Room. He's got a bunch of theories about the end of the world, and he just got out of the mental institution. So thanks for coming back to the show, Pete.
Please, I prefer 2012 Pete.
Oh, sorry, my bad. So 2012 Pete, you've been putting together a theory about the recent 3D wave in Hollywood?
Exactly, Tony. What people don't realize is this is just the harbinger of the beginning of the end. Once 3D takes over, people's retinas will evolve and be unable to register 2D forms, which means everyone will be bumping around into each other on the street, which will soon lead to mass riots and we'll all watch society's infrastructure crumble. Once the globe goes completely hard drive and all media becomes one format, it will become a monopoly. Time will actually speed up and 2012 will come sooner at the speed of light. The extensive use of 3D might actually open up a 3D or 4D portal into an alternate dimension. The 3D and 4D aliens will join us in a cosmic hoedown. Humanity's just not ready. We're just not prepared, man!
Well, we're actually out of time, so thanks for joining us on the Action Room again. That's 2012 Pete, ladies and gentlemen.
The emergence of 3D for the third time in over 50 years is right up there with the biblical plagues, man. 2012 is real, and the proof is in a $20 movie ticket! Game over, man! Game over!
We are nerds. That means we like...
Nerd News!
Alright, action fans, this weekend in the Nerd News, there is only one story, and that story is a little movie called Kick Ass. And to help us along with that Kick Ass movie review is our special returning Action Room movie reviewer / correspondent, Kim Rogers.
Yay!
Welcome back, Kim. Welcome
Thank
back to the
you.
Action Room.
I'm glad to be back.
It's exciting to have you here.
Yay.
All right, so I'm going to preface this and stay out of the review because here's the problem.
What?
Here, I did something very bad, okay? Before I went to see the movie.
Naughty person.
Did you read the comic before you saw the movie?
No, but that might have been actually even less of an issue. The problem was, and I don't know if you guys, either of you saw this, I saw the restricted trailer before the movie.
So?
Months ago. And so? The restricted trailer, to me, had everything the movie had. And so it really ruined it for me.
Really?
I was so psyched after I saw that trailer that this movie was going to be on a level that no other movie had been at. I was so excited. The violence, the cursing, the nudity. I was just so amped to see this film that when I saw it, I just wanted more.
You felt let down.
Yeah, because it was everything.
Because it gave everything away.
Yeah, it was basically...
All that from the trailer?
It was... my imagination ran with it, too. I was expecting so much, so it basically...
You wanted it to be more insane than it was?
Well, it ended up being... There were a few things. It ended up being basically just a longer version of the trailer for me. So it did everything I expected, but because it was just everything I expected, I wanted more. And there were some indications in the trailer that there was inferences that I thought it was going to go a different way that would have been cooler than it did. Mm. And so, I don't know. Anyway, it was a lesson to me to never watch a restricted trailer.
I never watched those anyway.
I know. I think a lot of people didn't, and they didn't expect it to be as extreme as it was, and that's the great thing.
I don't remember if I saw that trailer.
Anyway, I'm not saying it ruined it for everybody. It ruined it for
me. Wait,
there's also something off-putting about the Red Band trailers in general. It's like, I see a trailer, and then you see a trailer with cursing and nudity and violence.
There
nudity,
though.
No, there wasn't
tits,
nudity.
There was breasts.
That's exactly.
It was implied nudity.
So you
a
thought
lot
you were going to get more breasts.
Exactly. That's my point. The little bit they had was
you
in the trailer.
On breasts. That's his review.
Anyway, so I will say this much, and then I'll let you guys go nuts on this.
Okay.
Is that I know it's a great film. I know it's a game changer. I think it's everything it was supposed to be and what I expected.
Right.
It's just, on a personal note, which is good because I expect now more. I'd like to see now a new level to stuff. But it's just unfortunate because the way you feel about the film was the way I felt about the trailer months ago.
Wow. Well, producer Mike, I will say producer Mike has always been very the polar opposite of Tony Wolf. Producer Mike runs away. Runs away is an unfair term. Producer Mike does not want to see too many trailers. Producer Mike does not want any spoilers. And I
amazing.
Like to soak up a little bit of that stuff, sometimes a lot of that stuff.
And I did not, if I knew there was going to be that, because basically for me the Red Band trailer changed it completely 180
from
you expected
the previous trailer.
You
had seen a previous trailer,
which was more of like kind of just a super bad superhero thing to another level of movie. And
well, I guess
this is
mostly about expectations and trailers.
You know what?
And
I really do believe,
spoilers.
And I felt this for a long time, that movies are 90% expectations. So,
and it is fair to say that nowadays the trailers do often give away most of the major beats of a film.
There's an art to a good trailer. You know,
like the Iron Man trailer, for example.
The Iron Man trailer's
badass. We see the Iron Man 2 trailer, you kind of see a lot of the beats, but it doesn't give you everything.
Well, again, also, this wasn't even so much what it gave away. It was this other level of filmmaking that had never been done before. And
or it hasn't been done in years.
I've never seen them do a superhero film that's fun, but also with this kind of adult, edgy sensibility.
Right.
I was just, you know, but anyway, go
now,
ahead, guys.
By the way, I want to preface this. Are we saying for our listeners that is a massive spoiler review? Because there are things I want to talk about that involve
we should
spoilers.
Say that. Yeah.
So,
spoiler alert.
At this point in the Action Room, review of Kick-Ass, if you have not seen it and you don't want spoilers, run away now.
Well, no, don't run away from the show.
Fast forward.
Listen.
Or go see the movie. Press pause, go see the movie, and come back.
I like how Kim's doing it. Okay.
Okay. Don't run away from the Action Room, please. We need all the listeners we can get.
Okay.
All right. So, okay.
Kim just ran away.
Yeah, bye.
That's the door slamming. I felt like hopped up on coke. I loved it. This is the exact kind of anarchic punk rock DIY, insane, fucked up, gloriously wacko, wonderfully violent, Quentin Tarantino on steroids kind of movie making that I love. I know the original comic. I've only read half of the original miniseries, to be honest, because the miniseries, on paper, the ideas don't play for me as dynamically as he did in the film. I loved it. I also found it moving as a comic fan. It sort of touches the heart. We all have this power fantasy. We all love Superman. We all want to be superheroes. There's so much to say. I'll shut up. Kim, take it from
well,
here.
Well, I came into it with no expectations. I didn't...
Right. Good way to go to a movie.
You know, I didn't read the comic. I'm clearly out of its target demographic, who they're wanting to come see this movie. I'm sure they're not expecting a bunch of chicks to come and see this movie.
Well, it's interesting because the last movie you reviewed was very chick-heavy, Runaways.
And this one is guy-heavy.
Testosterone. So it's interesting. I'd like to know what you're taking.
But you like a good action movie, too.
I do.
You're not
I like
only
a good action
the...
movie with intelligence.
Yes.
You know, I always say that I want my popcorn blockbusters with a side of substance, you know.
And you love Iron Man. And that's
I'm a big fan of Iron Man, so I enjoyed it. I really did.
is that all? Or?
I mean, I'm not in the same league with
you
Tony.
Weren't having geekgasms.
No,
like
I wasn't.
I was.
Well, now, but this is interesting because as much as I, you know, came with it with a certain expectation, I do realize it's a pretty extreme movie that went to a different place than no other movie has.
Yeah.
So I'm interested, because it's so extreme, why are you having such a kind of mild, reaction to it? What?
I mean, and I don't even know if it's a mild reaction. It was, you know, it surpassed what because I thought I was going to hate it.
Oh,
I was truly afraid I was going to hate it, because the problem with a lot of movies that are comic-y, if they don't reach out to the people outside of their target
the
audience.
Accessibility.
Makes sense.
Yeah, and it was. It was very accessible. You're very in it from the beginning. And you laugh. And I personally want to see a whole movie about Hit Girl.
You're going to see a sequel. And in that sequel will be a lot. I think Hit Girl could be the breakout movie character of 2010.
She is badass.
And this is interesting because the actress is... Who is the actress?
Chloe Moretz.
Yeah, or Moretz.
She was hilarious in 500 Days
of Summer.
I was going
to say, somebody reminded...
The snarky little sister who's too old for her, you know...
Because they knew I saw her before,
years.
But that, yeah.
They had a hard time casting that role.
Yeah.
Because they needed a cute, adorable little girl who was sassy...
11.
But could also be sweet and could curse like a sailor.
Yeah.
And I loved Nicolas Cage doing the Adam West kind of impersonation.
Well,
that was brilliant.
That was
Adam West does this sort of Adam West Batman thing.
It was inspired casting to begin with Nicolas Cage in that movie, because he's just that crazy... In real life as well. I mean, you can tell he's a comic book fan. He named his frickin' son Kal-El.
Right. Yeah. Well, he used to be... I loved him during the kind of... What was the first movie, the big one? Raising Arizona.
Oh,
and movies
yes.
where he did just did a lot of characters. Then he did all these movies that, whether he was going broke or whatever, they were just kind of all the same.
Well,
now I feel
he sold his soul to Jerry Bruckheimer
after
he won his Oscar
and
made all those shitty action movies.
It was horrible.
It's funny. I found myself thinking, though, as a movie fan, even in the movie The Rock, which I feel is the good Bruckheimer movie.
The only good one.
Yes, the only good Bruckheimer movie. And Michael Bay also, right?
Yeah.
In The Rock, he has a little of that, I'm a crazy
man.
He's
crazy.
I love to listen to Elvis music, and I have a vintage 1963 thing in my wall, and you know.
Well, and he kind of brings that quality to the National Treasure movies, which I will admit are a guilty pleasure
I've heard
mine.
They're actually fun.
They're very fun.
I'm just saying, like, he's great. He's fine. I just,
but
like,
this is like a return to his roots.
Yeah.
I loved him back in the day. Valley Girl, even. If that for his first movie, if you ever saw
Well, and
that.
He had such great chemistry with
definitely,
Chloe
definitely,
as his daughter, and, you know.
I will say, really, as much as Kick-Ass, the movie, I love it. I think it's a game changer. Take that, Avatar, because it's substance game changer.
What makes it a game changer, though?
Okay.
Well, before I say that, it didn't need 3D, okay?
This is very true. This is very true.
Totally.
I really think, this is my theory on Kick-Ass, it's the modern era is the era of the mashup.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what I think about Kick-Ass. It is a superhero movie. It is an action movie. It is a Quentin Tarantino gangster movie.
Quentin Tarantino himself is a mashup. So
yes,
yeah.
It is Kill Bill. There's so many sort of Kill Bill. Hit Girl reminds me of the
Bride.
The 16-year-old cute ninja assassin who kills 50,000 people at the end of the first Kill Bill. But it's also
like anime inspired kind
yes,
of.
Yes, yeah. yes, because she's dressed up in that schoolgirl whatever. It's also a commentary on all superhero films, in addition to being a superhero film itself. Matthew Vaughn, as the director, is perfectly poised because he made his name doing Layer Cake and these gangster movies. But also, producer Mike and I have talked about this, and we have a video on our YouTube site called Trackballs, spoofing 80s movies wherein it's the core story is about a nerd who becomes cool.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's Porky's, as well as being a superhero movie, as well as being a violent, crazy, anarchic, massive action gore fest or whatever.
And and not a lot of people do anything when they see, you know, crime, and he actually does. Well, he wants to do something.
This is the real, I mean, Mark Miller / Millar, whatever we're going to fucking call him, any comic fan who loves, who has the love and the passion for comics like I do, or like Mark Miller, what we love is that at the heart, comics are about altruism and idealism. And it's the same reason that if you're not a comic fan, you love Jimmy Stewart in Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. You love Jimmy Stewart in the Christmas movie, whose name is escaping me.
It's a Wonderful Life.
It's a Wonderful Life. You love To Kill a Mockingbird because it's about people that do the right thing.
Right.
And at the heart of it, I was actually moved by certain sequences because he says, I just wanted to help people.
Right.
I just wanted to do something good in life.
And how they kind of flip things around, and he doesn't do it because his mother died.
Or was killed, rather.
Because his mother
does it, and I think it also taps into something in society with terrorism or the economy. This sense of injustice is being done, and someone should do something about it, by God. Mm-hmm. You know,
and do it in a wetsuit,
and do it in a fucking awesome way. And the scenes where he fights these guys and he gets captured on YouTube, the reaction that the onlooker teenagers have to him is what we the audience have. They say, this is fucking awesome.
Yeah.
And the current era of, like, anybody can be a filmmaker, anybody can be a superhero too.
Yeah,
you know?
It's like everybody can be famous. Yeah. But this movie, they even make the joke, we don't want to be famous like Paris Hilton. We want to get somewhere by doing something worthwhile.
Because she has small boobs.
Yeah.
Because she has small boobs. No, but I mean, that's why people get choked up when Christopher Reeve in certain moments of the Superman movies. They didn't get choked. They got choked up before he had an accident. They get choked up because, God, it's like Atticus Finch with the Kill a Mockingbird, and he's so noble. And it's like humanity aspires to that.
Well,
know?
So to we should keep it on an up and positive vibe here. But what maybe did you expect from it? What didn't you like about it, Kim?
Well, I will say some more of the things I like. There are four composers on the score, and none of them who I've ever heard of before, but I'm sitting there watching, and I'm a big kind of movie music nerd.
Right.
And I hear strains of John Williams' Superman theme in this music. I hear strains of Danny Elfman's work on Spider-Man and Batman. And then there are scenes in the movie where it is like shot for shot.
Yeah. The rooftop scene.
Peter Parker's trying, you know, and Tony and I looked at each other when we saw it and we were like, is that just shot for shot Sam Raimi's Spider-Man? And we were like, yeah, it was. And, you know, and so I appreciated that a lot. I've seen all those movies, you know.
Yeah. The house, the row of suburban houses that he grows up in.
Looks like Peter Parker's neighborhood.
Yeah, but they're all a little bit shittier than Peter Parker's row of houses.
Yeah, I mean, clearly they took a lot from Spider-Man. Mm-hmm.
It's such a loving homage.
And this brings up the point about the box office, and I think that was probably the issue for most people. They just thought it was kind of a low-rent Spider-Man, and they didn't...
I thought it was marketed terribly.
Well, what should it have been?
I think they should have played up more of the action and anyone being a superhero.
Right.
And the more sass and irreverence of it, because it really is almost like it's like a satire of all these goody-goody comic book movies, you know, squeaky clean Peter Parker and Superman.
Right.
Well, definitely, like I said, the Red Band, if it was more of that, the Red Band trailer, and more, you know, they couldn't do the cursing and stuff, but it would have made people, because I really don't think, when people are coming out of that theater, they're like, whoa, I did not know it was going to go there.
Totally.
That's awesome.
And so it's not encouraging me to go see it. You know, they expected the fanboys and the comic book fans to show up, but they didn't market it outside of going to college campuses and getting, you know, frat boys excited about it. They didn't try to get anyone else.
But I will say, after word of mouth, it'll probably keep doing better week to week, and I think the DVDs are going to be huge, and the sequel is going to break box office
records.
Are they really
going to do a sequel?
Oh, yeah, they've already planned it.
Okay.
They have to. I mean,
even if it completely tanks at the box office?
It's not going to tank. It's not going to tank. Yeah. People are too excited. People see this, I think, as the next level of superhero films. And with the end, the way it goes, yeah. there has to be a...
Yeah.
A
well, and yeah. I yeah, and I did and love also, McLovin as
oh,
well.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, yeah. And also,
casting.
McLovin's character, at the end, I was genuinely wondering, will he join them or will he be a villain? Because he's genuinely repulsed at a lot of the things
yeah.
his father does.
And I kept waiting for him to
turn
switch
sides.
Yes.
Right, right.
But then
like,
it's a great...
Oh.
It makes sense. The movie constantly plays with your expectations, and there were genuine twists.
He packed all these different elements,
and it was very
in the hands
tight.
Of a lesser screenwriter and
or director,
director
yeah.
it would have come off as this big muddled mess of you're trying to throw every little gimmick, because there were
or
a lot
genre.
Of things that could have come off
yeah.
gimmicky, and it didn't.
Mm-hmm. And it had a great sense of humor, so many jokes that were irreverent, but not obvious irreverence.
Right.
Also,
right.
I just want to say the John Romita Jr. art sequence, I was so excited that they used his art and animated it, and I heard about this before the movie. But J.R. Jr., I love him, I pay him much respect, I grew up reading his stuff, but he's not good with likenesses,
mm-hmm.
so it's clear that he did everything.
Yeah, exactly.
And then they brought someone else in yeah. to make the faces look more like the actors, and it almost hurt, it almost ruined it a little bit for me.
I did like that sequence, though, as a not, and a, you know,
the origin.
Not
he,
comic
by the way, for
person.
People that don't know, John Romita is the person who drew the original
John
Kick-Ass.
John Romita Jr. is the creator, the artist of Kick-Ass.
I thought it was a very clever sequence.
Yeah.
And really, it can't be said enough, the high concept of this movie is brilliant. Why doesn't someone really put on a shitty costume and get beat up in an alley in trying to save someone?
Right. Yeah.
I mean, it's really, you have to give props to Mark Miller for all his hype, for all his hucksterism, you know.
Yeah, no, it should be interesting to see what the sequels
I think it's a delight.
Show.
I want to own this movie on DVD, and I'm very picky about what I buy on DVD.
Can you imagine the DVD that's going to come out if they do like a director's cut
oh
and like
God.
The special it's going to be like a geekgasm
also,
DVD you
quickly,
know
not
they're going to do a comic based on the movie based,
yeah.
based on
comic.
The DVD
well what, I did love that like in the store where they
yeah.
were like coming soon
oh exactly yeah, yeah, yeah.
the Kick-Ass comic Red Mist comic
I also want to say just music wise not just the composers and the homages to other superhero movies but the rock and roll
using
Joan Jett
picking the song that they want to do
oh,
with
I mean
the,
some of it was like Enrico and Ennio Morricone western
yeah and then
know.
Him and then her going on a killing spree to Bad Reputation I mean
and
it was
Elvis,
pretty badass
the Elvis gospel
and what was
at the yeah. big end
what was the song with the light when the light was flashing that was a really cool song
oh, that
too
was
a,
the yeah. strobe the strobe
yeah, yeah.
and also the banana splits as an old
yeah,
school
yeah.
animation dork
but done by the Dickies
the tra-la-la tra-la-la la-la when she, you're first introduced to
yeah.
how much of an ass kicker she is
well and I think when we in our audience that was the first time the audience kind of went bananas
yeah,
and they
yeah,
got
yeah,
it
yeah.
they were like yeah
oh shit I can't
led
believe
by
they
Tony.
Did that
yeah.
oh yeah I have to watch myself when I'm an audience member because I'm so into it and I'm so like, yeah. And then a couple people were turning around like, is this guy on something? Or, you know.
All
and
right.
it's just, wow, so much. Go see Kick-Ass if you haven't seen it. It will truly kick your ass.
And even if you're not a comic book fan.
No, definitely.
It's a great
yeah.
action
everybody.
Movie.
It's a good time, totally.
Wow, I feel like I need a cigarette.
That's the first thing he said when we finished the movie. He's like, I don't even smoke and I want a cigarette.
Man, I just, my mind has been blown. Thank you, Matthew Vaughn, and all the filmmakers.
I wore a condom when I saw this movie.
Your condom, though, had a Red Band trailer on it that ruined it for you.
Yeah.
Anyway, wow, thank you so much, Kim Rogers.
Thank you.
Always a incredibly intelligent, incredibly witty, incredibly fun, and she also helped us with a recording problem earlier. She saved the
show. I have an eye for detail, people.
Kim Rogers saves the action room.
And it's heading into my favorite time of the year, which is summer movie season,
yeah.
so
yeah,
I'm getting
exciting.
Stoked.
Wow. And you're wearing a cape, which is interesting.
I always
don't,
wear a
you're
cape.
You're Irish, so you wear a green superhero costume.
Yeah, you know.
And
is
you're
that not normal?
Your superhero icon is the four-leaf clover.
Shamrock.
Sadly, it's normal in this room.
Yes.
So.
I feel at home.
Wow. Well, thank you, Kim, for being in the action room.
Thank you.
I guess we can end the show.
We're going to end the show. Any final words, Kim, about anything ever?
Ever? Yeah. Go
anything?
See Kick-Ass.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that's all we can say.
And I want the sequel now.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
It'll be very interesting.
All right. So let's. I'm producer Mike.
Wow, I'm Tony ass Kick-Ass Wolf.
And I'm Kim Rogers.
And you have been listening to Us Freak Out, otherwise known as The Action Room. We'll see you next time.